Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart, another day that the Lord our God has made. He's mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. Good things are in store for those who love God. God loves us so much. His love don't change. His love remains the same. He loves us with every part of his being. And his return is soon. And we're going to see him do things in greater ways. Remember, if you're looking for a mighty move of God, you may have certain expectations, but it's all about love. The most powerful move of God, if it's to be noticed, the love of God will be noticed more than anything. A lot of times people are looking for power. We like for things to be big and awesome, something everybody can see. In every generation, there were those who always gravitated to something they could see. The Exodus of Egypt, when God's people exited Egypt, and they were free from Pharaoh's rule and Egyptian bondage. And it was big and it was huge. It was something people could see. It was something people could feel. It was something people would talk about from that time on. Every generation knew about the Exodus. And so many people were free. So many millions of Jews left that country that the king of Moab and Midian, they were terrified at the sight of that massive amount of people that were free as they marched toward Canaan land. So when people get saved, they want to see a huge crowd. They want to see people slain in the spirit, receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit, healed and blessed and speaking in tongues, and they want to see something huge, something they can see. And all those things are wonderful. But there's something much greater than that, than all of that. And that's the love of God that we live by every day. Power. So many people gravitate to the power of God. And they want something that they can see. Some people want, they want to seem great in the eyes of men. And they want something big to happen in their ministries. But the best thing that can ever happen in any ministry, that's the love of God that we live by. At the end of the day, none of that means anything without the love of God. If we refuse to live by the love of God, the wonderful works of God, in all of its grandeur, it's meaningless without love. Now, God does these things. He does this all the time because he loves people. His love is great. His love is kind. And if we're going to relate to him, he relates by the love, by his love. In my own life, I didn't learn a lot from the Lord until I asked him to teach me how to love his people. Because I knew what was required. I knew that it pleased him. And I knew that it was important. And when you learn how to love, everything makes sense. All the grand things of this life that people can see make sense, as long as love is the foundation. And love is the reason for it. The Pharisees, they were looking for God to come back and be like them and probably reverse the tyranny of the Romans, remove the Romans from power, put us in power. We'll be in charge of the whole world. And we and they were certain that they pleased God in the state that they were in. And the Lord knew their hearts. He knew the wickedness of men. That's why he gave us the law. He didn't give us the law to make us righteous. He gave us the law to prove a point that we needed a savior. He wanted to prove to everyone individual that there's something wrong. Sin is here. And you can't overcome it without a savior. Man is very hard-headed and can be very, very hard-hearted. And these people thought that the law made them righteous and they thought they were better. They thought they were preeminent. And they looked down on the Jews. They looked down on the Gentiles because they were uncircumcised. Because they ate pork. They ate fish without scales. The things that set them apart for the God had a reason to command them to eat things that's clean, keep the Sabbath, circumcise their children. All those things made sense. Because he was the message was a savior's coming. They were reminders of the covenant of Abraham. People are so hard-hearted, they needed reminders of the covenant that God made with Father Abraham. That a savior's coming to rescue you from the sin and shame that you're infected with. Your whole being has to be renewed. So they thought that they were righteous because they had the law. And the law was given to lawless people. Once Adam sinned, sin was in his nature. And all of his offspring were just like he is. All of us. What he became is what we were born into. He sinned, he ran from God. We were born and it was in our nature to run from God. But when the gospel was taught, when people told us the good news, there was something remarkable about it that happened. And we wanted more of who spoke those words. We wanted more of the one who spoke from the heart. We heard words that proceeded from the heart of God, and we could tell it was recognizable that God left heaven, became a man, and walked among us, taught us. He even did powerful things, but he did it because of love. And then he died for us. And then he arose for us and justified us. And then he represents us before the Lord. Now, the enemy tried to tempt me with other paths, other religions, other thoughts. And none of those things sit right in my heart except Jesus Christ. In school, when America, I was born in the 60s and America was prospering. This was post-war. It was after World War II. And factories were smoking. People had more money than they ever had in the history of this country when I was born at that time. And I grew up in the 70s. And I didn't grow up like a poor kid. And I came from a nice neighborhood, a good neighborhood, a middle-class neighborhood. But we didn't consider ourselves rich. We just came from hard-working families. And I thank God for all the good that I saw. But when America ate dinner every day, and they ate meat every day, and they had three meals every day, and they had money in their pocket, and they built nice schools and homes and car, drove good cars, and by the time when I was born, most families had one car. By the time I went to school, families had two cars. And sometimes a truck, too. So, in the 60s, somebody got beside themselves and they said, we need to take prayer out of school. And that's the way men do. Adam ran from God and his seed runs from God until they get born again. And at school, you hear of other religions and you hear other points of views and this and that. None of it made a nickel's worth of sense except for Jesus Christ to me. Because my Savior, I recognize his love. And it matched creation. He made this world beautiful. He gave us all kind of food to eat that tastes good. And the kind you don't have to cook, you can pick it off a tree or a plant. And it tastes good without anything, without season, without anything. All you have to do is eat it. Now, my uncle had, he planted six or seven peach trees in his backyard. And my other uncle had a plum tree and an apple tree and maybe a pear tree, I think. And they combined their backyard because they were neighbors. And Uncle John Allen, my mother's sister's husband, I loved him. He had a swimming pool put in. And we would swim all day. And when swimming in water makes you hungry. So we get out the pool and grab a couple of peaches off the tree, rinse them off with the hose pipe, eat them, and jump back in the pool. And then we'll get out again and pick a few plums and eat them and jump back in the pool. And sometimes the green apples, we might eat that and jump back in the pool. They tasted good. Now, God gave us good things. He made the world beautiful. He did a good, David said, our bodies are fearfully and wonderfully made. Women are attractive to men. And for some reason, they're attracted to us. And I thank God that they are. But family is wonderful. But it's not without love. Without love, nothing means anything. When you have the love of God and you have a family and they love each other and they all love God, you can't get any better than that. I don't care what you have, what you don't have, what you want, what you haven't been able to attain. If you have love within your family, you are a very wealthy person. If you have friends that you love and care about, a network of people that they got your back and you got theirs and you pray for them and they pray for you. And what bothers them bothers you. You care about them. You are very wealthy. But where there's bitterness and strife and envy, every evil work follows that. You have disaster if you have strife and envy. And bitterness. Some people, they put a lot of effort into seeming powerful or being powerful. If God moved mightily in their church, they might get in pride. But power without love is death. What's the difference if a man chooses power without love and Satan chooses power without love? He wanted to have power over God's creation without love. He was motivated by lust. And all he ended up is dead. The end result is death. The wages of sin is death. One proverb says, better is he that can rule his spirit than he that takes a city. If a man, anybody, if it's Satan, if it's an angel, if it's a man, anybody that conquers everything and they win and have nothing else to conquer, the end result is death. And I'm going to show you why. Power without love means nothing. There's no life in it. They put forth a lot of dead effort for selfish reasons. They built their universe on strife. And without love, it means nothing. When you operate by love, you operate by a living foundation, a tie that binds, a blessing. Your whole pattern of operations leaves good in its wake. It's a blessing. When a boat goes by, it leaves a wake. When God goes by, he leaves blessings for everybody. The night sky is lit up with stars because God made them. Because he made people that can enjoy their world. Jesus told us this. That the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. Smallest seed of an herb. The smallest seed is a mustard seed. And it becomes the greatest herb. And the fowls of the air can lodge in the shadow of it. So he makes planets and people. And they have beautiful places. Now, when God made the earth and Adam was in charge of it, because Adam had dominion over it, whatever Adam did, the earth would do. Adam was the captain of the earth. Whatever he did, the earth would do. When Cain killed Abel because of his envy and strife, and he planted a seed, the earth wouldn't produce for him because of his bloody hands. He killed his brother. And every generation that would have come from Abel. And Abel had no children. He had no line. Because his brother murdered him. Because of envy and strife. So when Adam planted an apple tree. Or a peach tree. Or watermelon vines. Or whatever he planted. The earth wouldn't yield anything. He had to eat what he could find. So if you go where there's no sin, there's nothing but love, it would be so beautiful over time that you'll never want to come back to this planet. And if there's one where there's nothing but disaster, you'll never want to be there. So everything that's not like God would die. And the motive of love without power, the motive of power without love will end in hell. That's the lockup place for all sin. That's where all sin has to go. And it's good. Hell is good. It's a good place. Because it holds the disaster that needs to be forgotten. People who choose death, they do it on purpose. People who choose life, they do it on purpose. You give them all the necessary information. And people choose their path on purpose. And there's nothing you can do about it. The best we can do is present people with the love of God. They'll either receive it or they'll reject it. And people who love power without love, they will follow their captain, Satan. There's no difference between an angel sinning and a man sinning. And I was, you know, I kept thinking about the contrast of Lucifer in Ezekiel chapter 28, verses 11 through 19, and Jesus Christ washing his feet, going to the garden, girding up his heart and his mind to die for us. Then he finished the work on the cross. He not only washed his disciples' feet, but he died for all of us. One man died to cleanse every man. And that's the kind of legacy. If I had anything on a tombstone, if I ever have a tombstone, which I probably won't, I'll probably be raptured before I pass. But if I did, the only thing I would really want is he loved everybody. And if I can love everybody, that's the most important thing that I could do. Without love, everything I do, all the works and effort I put forth means nothing. But because I love people, I serve God. So when you're looking for this mighty move of God, start with the love and work your way up. If you can appreciate the love of God, you can sense the move of God. You can sense it. But when people are looking for something big that they can see and then they'll believe, they're going to miss the whole thing. Because God's going to make sure that whatever evidence they're provided with is going to represent his love. And if they're looking for power without love, they're going to miss it. Even when it's running strong, even when things are happening, the people who are looking for power without love, they're looking for power without love is nothing but preeminence and prestige. When that's what's in their heart, they're going to miss the point. That's why Jesus came to his own and his own received him not. He came to the people who were attempting to keep the law, who studied the law night and day. But they did it for prestige purposes, and they missed the whole point. So when the word became flesh and was legally born in the earth and came to them, they didn't recognize him. The scholars didn't recognize him. A few people were looking for him. Two people were in the temple praying for him, praying that they may see him. Simon, the Lord told him he would see the Savior. And he saw him as a baby. And he said he's ready to go. He's ready to die because he saw the baby. And the Lord caused him to live so he could do other things. And the lady's name, I think, was Anna. I got to go back and study to make sure I got her name right. But she was a widow woman. She was married 7 years, and she went to the temple every day and prayed. And she knew that the Messiah was born too. They were looking for him. But the Pharisees and Sadducees, they were looking for him to come in their style. Power, prestige, preeminence. Without love. And the Holy Spirit came upon Jesus in the sight of John the Baptist in the form of a dove. And dove is not a powerful looking bird. They're easily startled. They're hard workers. They have a lot of love. And that's what that's the bird God used to portray the character of the Holy Spirit. And I said in another broadcast previous to this one, when Noah sent a bird out, the first bird he sent out was a raven, beautiful black bird, strong, mighty looking bird. And Noah picked that raven just like Samuel picked David's oldest brother. And that raven went out and came back, went to and fro, looking for trees, trying to help. But he didn't get the job done. And then he sent out David. He sent out a female dove. And she went and flew as far as she could and made it back to the ark and was trying to go again. And Noah had to reach out and pull her back in the ark. She wanted to go. As soon as she got just enough rest, she was ready to go back. She was relentless. And he waited 7 days and sent her again. She came back with the olive leaf. And then when he released her, she never came back. She got the job done. The raven gave up. He didn't get the job done. And I said, I call that dove David because David got the job done. When he saw Goliath, his heart was so filled with love. Perfect love cast out fear. He didn't see a giant. He saw a man out of covenant cursing God, an uncircumcised Philistine. And the circumcision that David was talking about was the circumcision of the heart, not his flesh. Even though he was uncircumcised, even in his flesh. But he saw a dead man walking. A man that hated the covenant. And the fire of God rose up in him because he had so much love. There was no fear. And when he fought him, he picked 5 smooth stones. See, smooth stones, they fly through the air with less drag. They were the right size to fit his sling. And when he saw his enemy, he ran in the name of the Lord, in the power of his might, and running toward him and loaded his sling. And precisely threw that stone into the center of his forehead and it sunk in. And out he went. And then he cut his head off and inspired the army of Israel at the same time. And David was not a skilled or a trained warrior. He was just a man that loved God. And when he became king, he didn't stop loving God. Just like anybody, if you change focus, you change your destiny. When he saw Bathsheba, he changed his focus and it changed his course. When Nathan the prophet prophesied about him and corrected him, he repented and got back on course. But it caused problems. See, what we do now, if we keep on doing the things that because of the love of God, we leave a healing wake behind. We leave a pattern of good works. And it will inspire people. Those that look to you will see a standard to live by. And those that halfway love it will follow it. And those that love power more will despise it of their own free will. Most people, even though they despise it, they won't work against it. So when there's a standard going, they have a better chance at deciding to live. Some will, some won't. The wicked will be wicked, and the wicked won't ever understand the heart of God's will. In fact, love don't make sense to a wicked man. It's aggravating to him. He loves power, prestige, preeminence more than the love of God. And the more he loves the power without love, the more he walks in death. And the wake behind him is full of misery and strife and problems. And he leaves his family in a pitiful condition. And they may not make it. Only if they look to the Lord will they alter the course of their line and lineage. That's why it's so important that we walk in love and not fear. I can see what God is doing, and many people can't. Many people can sense it, but it's because they love the love of God. Without the love of God, nothing means nothing without the love of God. But I'm out of time, but the Lord is not here. Continue to mightily move in your life. Follow his love, and you're going to see the greater things of God unfold. Till next time, remember, I love you, God loves you, and Jesus is our Lord.